are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina, and I am joined by my good friend Chris Bisiano of the Giant Insider. We are counting down the days until the NFL draft. Chris, we are getting closer and closer to having the answers that we've been discussing for months.
Yeah, how pumped up are you, Pat?
Oh my gosh. I want
3 days
over
away,
with.
Two first round picks, a high second. I mean, it doesn't get better than this, man.
I definitely want it. It's like, I want the answers now because it's like,
you know,
there's so many different ways to go. As we record this, Chris, I'm trying to finalize a Giants only mock draft, and I'm sitting here in every scenario I have come up with, I just don't like because it either doesn't make sense, the value's not there, and I'm just pulling my hair out, which, you know, is driving me crazy. But hey, listen, that's what you get this time of year, and it's the part.
Yeah, and it's such an important draft too, right, Pat?
Yes.
It's such an important draft. You know, it's not like the Patriots or some, you know, like that. You say, okay, they're going to draft some guys. And how, you know, okay, let's move on. You know, this is an important draft, man. Are they going quarterback with the 6? Are they going to go with the 17? Are they going to move up? They need defense bad. They're going to take 2 defensive guys out of the top 3. It's such an important draft because this team has holes to fill. And now you have high picks. And you can't miss on these picks, Pat. So important, man.
Not only that, Chris, but if you look at what Dave Gettleman has done, it all leads up back to building through the draft. So he's got to get this draft right. He's got to.
Pat, he has to. He didn't go with a quarterback last year. He went with a gold jacket. Looks like a future gold jacket kid in Barkley, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's so important. He has to fill these picks. These picks have to hit. Either be quarterback, defensive line. These first 3 picks, Patty, have to be contributors to this organization for a while. So important for Gettleman, man. So such an important draft for him.
It really is. And, you know, Chris, it goes back to the old, you know, belief, what you and I have been saying for a long time now. It took them years for Jerry Reese and Mark Ross and company to destroy the franchise with their questionable picks. Gettleman, this is his second draft with the Giants, you know, so I think it's a 3-year rebuild plan myself, but this is a critical one. This is like the biggest part, I think, of the 3-year rebuild plan, and you're right, you know, will it be a quarterback? I personally don't think it's going to be a quarterback in the first round, but who knows? They've done a better job. I will say this, Gettleman has done a little better job this year of I think, disguising what the intentions are. Now, it could be that he doesn't know, you know, whereas, you know, you're sitting at number 2, you kind of have a good idea what the Browns are going to do last year. So, you know, your decision becomes that much easier. But this is, I think, the first time in, it could be ever. I don't remember the Giants ever having two first round picks.
They had it to call Banks.
I was going to say, not since 2000, they haven't had two first round
picks. No, the last one was Banks and,
and
William Roberts back in 84.
84, exactly. So a long time ago. So anyway, Chris, for this show, yesterday we talked a little bit about round 1. Let's look at day 2 because day 2 to me is a big pivotal day for the Giants. They have, I think it's number 37. Yep. And then they don't pick again until number 95. Now, if you go back to what Gettleman said in his draft press conference preview, he said, you know, this is a very thick, and I'm using his word, thick class in rounds 1 through 4. I got to believe he's going to do something. He's going to try and trade and get higher, you know, between the 95 and 37 pick.
Yeah, you remember what he said the other day. It's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting from the second round to late in the third round and watching all these good plays, you know, leave the draft board. I mean, it's he kind of laughed about it, right? But he was like serious. You could tell he was like, yeah, this is going to kill me. So with all their picks, Pat, you throw in a 2020 draft pick, and I think they move up. I don't envision Gettleman sitting there from the 37th pick until the, I think it's, what would you say it was, Patty? 96, right?
It's
or something? 95. Okay, I'm sorry. To the 95th. Don't envision it. I see him putting something together to move up in that third round. It's going to, listen, Pat, it's going to take a 2020 draft pick. You know, I'm not saying the first or second. I'm just saying it's going to be a 2020 pick mixed in there, but I could definitely, definitely see Gettleman doing that.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris, because, you know, assuming they don't take a quarterback in the first round, and I'm not convinced that they're going to, that much I will say. Mm-hmm. You say if they don't get a quarterback in this round, presumably you would say to yourself, okay, they got to do it in 2020 when there's, several better options in there and, you know, more choices. So do you really want to be giving up picks in 2020 when it is possible you're going to need those picks to pull off, you know, basically another blockbuster trade like they did to get Eli Manning?
Mm-hmm. Fair point, Pat. Fair point. I'm looking at the 2020 pick like a third rounder. I don't think it's going to be a first set. What it's going to have to take, Pat, if they don't go quarterback this year, next year he has to move up, unless they have a disastrous year where they're right there anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about they have a 7-9, 8-8 season, 9-7, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. If they have to move up to a striking distance of one of those three kids, now we're talking 2021 first round, second round. You're packaging high picks, Pat.
Yeah,
it has to. You have to, Pat. You have no choice. If the Giants are drafting, like, say, for argument's sake, 14th next year, and they want to get the top five, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking about swapping your one, and you're giving a 2021 one.
Exactly. And you also probably have to throw in some of your 2020 picks as well. You know, they're going to have the two. You know, here's the thing, Chris. They are projected to have two third round picks next year, their own and then the comp pick for Landon Collins. Now, you cannot trade a pick that you don't yet have.
Right.
So I'm just wondering here now, in order for the Giants to jump up from 95 to closer to 37, you know, to get a little bit more of a premium pick, do they say, okay, you know what, we're going to give up next year's third round pick, for example, our pick, and then just know that they have that comp pick coming in, you know, or I should say it's 99% certain they'll have it coming in for Collins.
Yeah, sure. No question, Pat. You can't – listen, Pat, you're not going to give up a one or a two to move up in the third round. That's not happening. Right. We know that, right?
Right.
Especially if they don't go quarterback, because you're going to need that to move up in next year's draft. No question about it. Is the three out there? Are you going to put a three, maybe even a 2023? Whatever you just said, Pat, or four. Yes, that is definitely going to be on the table. Because like we just discussed, Pat, I don't see Gettleman sitting there from 37 to 95.
Yeah.
Don't see it. Now with all these picks they have, and you have to throw in next year. I mean, I'll be surprised if he doesn't. Listen, we could be wrong, but I'll be surprised if he doesn't move up.
I think he's going to try. Now, whether or not he finds something that he likes, that's the key. Now, it's interesting because people have said, well, what about moving up in round one or moving down in round one? Now, as far as I'm concerned, six, I don't see them moving either way. I just don't see it.
No way.
17, maybe I see them going down, you know, especially if it's a few slots. Now, some people are like, well, what about trading with the Bills, you know, because, you know, Brandon Bean and Gettleman used to work together in Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Giants are going to trade up from 17. I'd be stunned at that. Could I see them maybe trading down with a team that maybe needs a tight end if one is on the board? That I could see.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, it's like Gettleman said the other day, Pat, it all depends to who's on the board still.
Right.
They could have a kid coming in at 17. They have rated high on their board that's not drafted yet, and they're going to go with that kid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
you know, I mean, it depends who's left. You know, this is the fascinating part about the NFL draft. It changes on the fly. It's like a hockey game, Pat. Like, you change your lines on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what some team's going to trade up in front of you. You don't know what kid's going to be drafted that you never thought was going to get drafted, or some team moves up. That's what if they're sitting at 17, like Gettleman said today, if they're sitting at 17 and they have a kid drafted very high on their board, they're going to go with them, right?
Sure.
If those kids are not on the board anymore, not a scenario of, you know what, let's trade down four spots. We'll get an extra pick here. Right? And then we'll help ourselves like that. If they love quarter, if they love a Jones, Daniel Jones, if they love a Locke, you know, somebody like that, of course. We'll see, Pat. This is what's, that's why it's 3 days away. It's going to be amazing what happens Thursday. It's going to be fascinating.
It really is. Now, going on the quarterback thing, I was going back this morning, Chris, and I was looking at what Gettleman had to say during his press conference.
Right.
And he mentioned Kyle Lauletta. He said, you know, don't rule the kid out. Don't forget about him.
Right.
Now, the common belief out there amongst, you know, the fans and a lot of the media is that Lauletta's done. He's a one and done. I don't know about you, but I kind of walked away saying to myself, even if they draft a quarterback, which again, I don't know that they're going to do in the first round, if they do draft a quarterback, I could see it being a, you know, a day three pick. But I'm not so sure, you know, I just think reports of Lauletta's, you know, termination have been premature, so to speak. Are you getting that?
Yeah. You listen, I'm guilty. I'm partially guilty. I'm partially guilty of that myself. I didn't like his stuff that he did last year in the building. You know, as far as besides, forget about the incident he had off the field. You know, as you know, Pat, you've heard it too. There's been a few times he's been late coming into the building. Not crazy about that. You can't go by the Redskin game. It's the first time he saw action. You know, you can't take too much of that. But I was a little. I have to be honest with you, Pat. I'm guilty of that myself because I didn't like some of the things I heard about him, about, you know, coming out of the building as far as why is a 15-year veteran in the building before you, you know? But is it premature to go? Absolutely. He's still a fourth-round pick. I'm sure he's worked his butt off since some of the stuff that went on last year. And he still might like him, say, listen, this kid's going to come in. He's going to compete. No question. Is it a little premature? Probably. Probably it is, Pat. Yeah, he's going to come in this camp, and he's going to compete. We'll see if he makes it out of the camp. That's all.
You know, Chris, at the end of last year, I had a chance to talk to the kid briefly. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I said, look, you had a rough year. I said, what are your expectations of yourself for next year? And he said, look, I'm going to take 1 week off, go visit family and friends. And then he says, I am going to, you know, he said he was going to, I think, go out to California to train. Right. He was planning on being here a lot more often in the off season. So, look, did he get off to a bad start? Yes. Could he still turn it around and atone for his errors? Sure he can. Sure. Is the kid the future franchise quarterback? That's where I say, nah, probably not. But remember, the Giants are going to need a solid backup. Okay, could Lauletta be that? Possibly. Or, you know, maybe he works himself into a decent enough quarterback to where after the summer, you know, if he shows something, maybe the Giants look to trade him and just stick with, you know, Alex Tanny and maybe, you know, another quarterback that they might draft in, you know, in day three.
Yeah, listen, Pat, he's a kid. We've all made mistakes. God knows I made plenty of them when I was in my 20s, okay? Can you turn around and you show this organization, hey, listen, I didn't get off on the right foot. I did some stupid stuff and all that. Watch the way I work this offseason. Watch the way I look next year. Yeah. Of course. He's just a kid. It's going to be his second camp in July. Okay? So let him come in. Let's see what, you know, what he looks like this camp. He's going to compete for the backup job. You know, listen. It was a telltale sign last year when Tanny was active mostly every game behind Eli, right?
Yeah.
Over a fourth round pick. A journeyman was active. What was it, Pat? 13 out of 60, whatever it was. You know,
yeah, I think something like that.
Something like that. I don't have the exact number in front of me. You know, something like that. So that was a sign right there. Now, can that turn around this year? Yeah. And he could compete. He's going to compete, Pat. He's not going to be cut before camp. He's going to compete.
Exactly. And if you want a good example of a guy who came in and was a total screw up and turned his act around, David Tyree. Perfect example.
Yes, he was. David would be the first one to admit that to you.
And he made a lot of mistakes. Exactly. He admits it. He says, I was a screw up. I came in here. He said, you know, I didn't take it seriously. And then I think he hit rock bottom. And then he decided to turn his act around. And to this day, you know, he turned
he's
it
an
around.
Icon.
And he was one of the Super Bowl heroes.
Yeah, he's a giant icon to this day. He's an icon. Let's face it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's an icon. Yeah, listen, he didn't have a great career, but he was an icon in the biggest game.
Exactly. Exactly. Chris, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about day two, the second and third round. So, folks, stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and Chris Bisiano of Giant Insider. We are getting you ready for the draft. It's here, folks. It's this week. It's a couple of days away. Finally, we are going to get some answers. And we are talking today about really day two, day three. Chris, let's talk about some of the potential picks or positions or however you want to do it that the Giants might pursue. Now, we talked yesterday. We know we said that defense is probably a gimme with number six. Number 17, we figured it could be offensive tackle. All right. Now, based on need or however you want to however you want to do it, based on your assessment of the value of and the depth in each position, where do you go with number 37 if you're the Giants?
Well, if they don't go off Pat at his first three picks, offensive lineman, I'm sorry, it has to be one of them. Has to be one of them. So, do you go, like, say they go defense six and they go, do they go offensive lineman at 17? Yeah, could be. Does Gettleman, does Gettleman go, then if Gettleman goes quarterback second thing, then now you're looking at offensive lineman in the second pick, right? A kid like Cody Ford, a Greg Little, a guys like this could drop at 17. Do they think, I don't know how they think of it. Well, how do you have them rated? If they have them rated pretty high, first round value, there you go. I mean, they're going to have to get an offensive lineman. There's no question out of these first three picks, one of them has to be an offensive lineman.
Absolutely. I'll dare, and I know I'm going to get slammed for saying that, but I dare
What?
say that's probably a little higher priority than a quarterback at this point. Because look, I have said this all along, Chris. You get that offensive line fixed, and then you get them to gel. And now, when you come next year, if you have your quarterback ready to go, you give that guy a better s chance of success. Because look at what's going on with the Texans, okay? Last year, Deshaun Watson was sacked, what, 69 times? And they look back in their history how David Carr was beaten to a pulp behind a crappy offensive line. And look at what happened to him. That was the, what, wasn't he the number one overall pick in the draft? So you want to make sure that when your next kid comes in, your next franchise quarterback, you want to put him behind a solid offensive line. And you look at what Dallas did, how Dak Prescott was able to come in and succeed behind that offensive line. That is so important. And that's why I dare say right now, I would put a little bit higher priority on completing that unit than I would getting the next quarterback, especially given the fact that this class is kind of, thin, in my opinion.
Patty, I'm with you 100%. You've heard me say it a thousand times. I want defense, offensive line, offensive tackle. This second, the first three picks. I'm with you. If people want, listen. I feel the same way. I don't think any of these kids are top number six overall. I really don't. I think offensive line. This is the final piece that they could grab at one of these top three. At a top three picks. This could be the final, like you said. And now you're bringing another kid next year or whatever it might be. And now his offensive line is set, sort of like you just compared Dak. Is it going to be as good as Dak's line his first year? No, of course not. But it's going to be a solid offensive line, and that's what you're going to need. Like you said, are you going to put him behind an offensive line like Deshaun Watson had to deal with? I mean, are you kidding me? So I'm sorry. I'm with you, Pat. I need offensive tackle, okay, out of these top three picks because, let's face it, on paper right now, the only spot that's mediocre is right tackle with Chad Wheeler. So you got to bring in a kid, Hog Molly, another one, right? And this is it. If you bring in a kid, Pat, at the first three picks, and he's the real deal, and he's a solid player, right tackle, that's a damn good offensive line you're looking at now, right? Damn good offensive line.
And not only that, but you're putting him next to a pretty damn good right guard who can help him the way Nate Solder helped Will Hernandez become acclimated. Now, here's the other
Wait.
thing, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't take Mike Remmers off the table, because if they bring Mike Remmers in, there's a couple ways they can go with it. First of all, if they draft a right tackle and they sign Mike Remmers, now they've got three solid offensive tackles that they can rotate, including a guy who can potentially be a swing tackle. All right. So now you figure, okay, maybe you start Remmers to begin the season. All right. And then when the kid's ready, then you make the switch if you need to. Or if there's an injury, now you've got, you know, a second round talent that you can plug in there. All right.
Right.
So that's what they need to do. They haven't had that kind of depth at that position in God knows how long. And it's
a
hurt
long
them.
Time. A long time, right? Mm-hmm. Let's face it, if they do that with Remmers, right? He comes in, him and the new right tackle, the kid that they bring in, they draft, they'll settle it on the field. That's all, you know? Like Will and Anderson, if you remember, Pat, he wasn't with the ones right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went in, then they put him in with the ones, and the rest was history. So they'll settle that on the field. If a guy like the number two pick or a late first round pick doesn't start right away, boom, he's right there, right? If they do bring in a Remmers. If the kid beats Remmers out, you got Remmers as a swing tackle. You know, like you said, is he an upgrade over Wheeler? Yeah, probably as a swing tackle, definitely, right?
Right.
So now you're looking at a pretty solid offensive line if, you know, because guys get hurt. Let's face it, we all know that.
Sure they do.
Yeah, so you got guys coming off the off the bench. And you know what, Pat? There's a lot of picks here. Fourth round picks, fifth round picks. It's not going to be the first. You know, you're going to see Gettleman bring in another guard, a center, a tackle, another, you know, something like that in these middle rounds too.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
You know, I mean, I can see with all these picks. So that's the way you build football teams. That's what Gettleman is trying to tell people. I know, you know, nobody wants to hear that because everybody's thinking quarterback. So, but Gettleman's going to build the lines, man. He is going to build the lines. There's no question about it. So I fully, Patty, expect a tackle with one of these three picks.
Okay, so agreeing with you on that. All right, so if you figure the first three picks, you got offensive, you know, in some order, defense, offensive tackle. So that would be your second round pick. What do you do with your third round pick, assuming that you stay at 95? Now, we're going to assume they're staying at 95.
Right.
I still think they're going to move up, but, you know, they're going to have a third round pick somewhere. What do you do there?
Okay, what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
If it goes down the way you just said, it goes down. No quarterback. You got two defensive players and offensive tackle, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm looking at in the third round. I'm looking at a receiver.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
What's the matter? Did I hurt you?
No. You and I are so on the same page. It's amazing.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I do with you. I'm bringing a receiver in, my friends, because we still need a number, or maybe a future number one, but we need some speed. So you know what, Pat? I'm looking at my boy Miles Boykin from the Fightin' Irish. Is he there? Is Terry McLaurin in there? I'm looking at receiver, Pat, at the number three pick. Call me crazy, but I tell you what, we need a receiver in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have two guys. Listen, Corey Coleman, this kid's got a lot of talent, okay? And I see he's working out with Eli Manning. He did the workouts with Eli. Which I was really happy about. You know, he like does that quarterback thing, Pat.
Right.
He had Saquon down there. He had Corey Coleman and everything. Happy to see Corey working out with Eli. All right. We just don't quite know yet with Corey, but Corey could be a real nice re-signing here. Really could. But right now you're looking at two basic slot guys that could play the outside too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you try to bring in that X, you know, you try to bring in that wide receiver on the outside. Then maybe could get over the top a little bit, you know, to stretch that defense. So I'm thinking, Pat, third round wide receiver. I guess you agree with me the way you reacted.
Yes, I do. And can we get somebody who is a nice, tall receiver who can slice the top off of that defense?
That would be nice. You know, want to give Plaxico a call? Is he still any ball left? What do you think?
I don't know. Can he suit up still?
Right. So, hey, that's the way I'm looking at it, Pat. I like to see a receiver in here. I mean, if a kid like Hakeem Butler drops to the third round, a 6'5 kid, Pat, you know, Nikhil Harry's probably going to go high, but somebody like you just said, a 6'2, 6'3, that could run a 4'4. You know what I mean, Pat?
Right.
I mean, if that type of kid is there in the third round, I think Gettleman goes receiver.
Okay. Chris, hold that thought. We're going to take our final break, and then I have one other scenario I want to run by you and see what you think. So, folks, stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina and special guest Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider and the Giant Insider podcast. Make sure you are following him and senior editor Jerry Foley there at Giant Insider. They do a great job. They're good people. They tell it the way it is. And, you know, I hope you're enjoying the feedback as much as I am. So, Christopher, let's talk about one more scenario for day two, all right? So we just talked about, you know, the Giants in the third round. Now, this is assuming they stay at 95.
Right.
If they somehow get another pick in the top 100, which, you know, again, you and I both seem to agree that Gettleman is either going to try and move up from 95 or get another pick.
Right. All right.
So let's assume they get another pick in the top 100. Where do you go?
In the top 100, Pat, I'm still going. Well, depends. I guess, you know, obviously it depends on how far they move up. But I'm still going. I want a wide receiver in the third round, Pat.
Okay, let's say they have two. Let's say they somehow,
corner,
you know.
Cornerback, my friend. Corner.
Cornerback, yes.
Corner. Sorry, Pat. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, no, corner.
Yes.
Cornerback. You know, if a Montre Hardridge is out there, I want a corner. They need corner. Pat, I'm a big baseball fan. And I talk about this with Jerry, you know, my partner over there in Giant Insider. Can never have like in baseball you can never have enough pitching, Pat. In football, you can never have enough cornerbacks. So if they move up and now they have 2 third round picks, I want receiver and I want a corner, another corner.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because look, we right now they're gonna keep Janoris Jenkins as far as we know.
Yeah.
But I don't see him here next year. You know, he's got the big contract. I think at some point they might move on from him. I could conceivably see them moving on from him even by the trade deadline if something comes along. So, I mean, you got to get the next guy ready.
Yeah, we're thin, Pat. We're thin right now. We're hoping Sam Beal works out.
Yes.
Right? We're hoping.
Yes.
I mean, we're hoping Janoris comes back and has a solid season. We're hoping Grant Haley works out in the slot. We need some corners over there, man. We need some depth over there. Right? I mean, let's face it. It's questionable position right now. Janoris on paper is solid. We know that. Right? But, I mean, you're looking at Janoris and Beal. We don't know what Beal's going to be.
Right.
And they brought back, brought back a Tony Lippett, please. You know, I mean, Mike Hunter's, Grant Haley shows some promise, but we'll see what he is in his second year. You know, so it's a position that needs to be addressed, Pat.
Yeah.
It does.
Yes, it does.
So not only are you going to see it in the draft, I believe, you're going to see, of course, after the draft, when they start bringing in all these undrafted free agents, you're going to see a couple more come in.
Right. I mean, they're bringing back Grant Haley, who will probably be your slot guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now, you have a bunch of guys who in my estimation, are more slot corners than they are outside corners. I just think they're kind of thin at the outside.
You know, Haley played on the outside a little bit last year, played mostly on the inside. You know, Mike Thomas moved over. I played a lot of slot from the safety position. But you need some more. You need an upgrade. You need some more talent there. It's very questionable position right now. Very questionable. And you're hoping Janoris Jenkins has a good year, Patty. He had a mediocre year last year. Wasn't that great?
Yeah, exactly.
And listen, Pat. If this Beal kid turns out to be, and you heard Sherman the other day say he's good to go, you know, at the conference call, he's good to go. Okay.
Right.
So if this kid turns out to be a player, okay, that's going to be such a huge lift, Pat. But right now, speaking today, we just don't know if the kid's going to be an NFL-type talent. We don't know yet.
Yeah. It's a big gamble.
It's a position has to be addressed. To be addressed.
Gettleman said this year, if Beal was coming out in the draft, he would have gotten a second round grade.
Right.
They, of course, used a third round grade on him or third round pick last year on the supplemental draft. So they apparently feel good about him.
Yeah, Pat. And judging by Gettleman's draft last season, I'll take his word for it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good draft last year, Gettleman. So if Dave says, hey, this kid, you know, if he came out in 2019, is going to be a second round pick, Dave, I'll run with it.
Yes.
I'll go with it. You know,
yes.
I'll go with it. No question. Until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Chris, if there was one thing, you know, and we'll throw the quarterback out of the equation because that's the obvious.
Right.
One scenario that if it were to happen on day one or day two, that would absolutely make you say, what the hell? What would that be?
Jones at six.
Jones at
Oh, sorry,
six.
we're throwing the quarterback position out.
Yes, throw it
Oh,
out.
I'm sorry. Wow.
Because
At the
that's too
sixth pick.
obvious. That's too obvious, the
I guess
quarterback.
if they went safety at six, Pat.
Yeah, I
Or
don't.
corner. A safety or cornerback at six, I'd probably be like, whoa, you know? Offensive line wouldn't have a problem with it, Pat, at six. If he draft like that kid Taylor, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Obviously, edge, linebacker, no. But I guess if they took a safety at six, Pat, I would be like, what the heck, right? That would surprise. We keep a quarterback out of it, right?
Yeah, we it's too obvious.
Right. So safety, Pat. I would say if they went with a safety at six, which I don't cannot envision at all, that would be the head scratcher to me.
Head scratcher for me would be if they went with a skill position player at six, you know, a receiver, for
Right.
example, you
Right.
know, or I dare I say, you know, even if they were. There's oh goodness, now I'm going to forget the guy's name. N'Keal Harris.
N'Keal
No,
Harry,
yeah,
yeah.
Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a guy who I think is going to drop down at six. And you know, he's a guy, depending on who you listen to, you know, that they're like, oh, he'd be a perfect fit for the Giants. And I'm like, nah, we don't want to receive. I don't want to
Not
see
at
a skill
six,
position,
no.
not at
Yeah.
six. You know,
Yeah.
because here's the school of thought, Chris. The school of thought is, you know, get the guys at the positions that are thin, and those that, you know, have good depth, you could probably get just as good of a player, you know, a player who maybe, let's say, falls to the second round, but who you have first round grade on. I'm not so sure that's the best way to go about this.
Yeah, you know what? Like you just said, if they shocked the world when we receive it, that would scratch my head. That would make me scratch my head big time too. I don't see that either. So, obviously, running back, receiver. Yeah, right. And even tight end too. Right? Tight end would
Well,
be
you
like
know
what?
what? Tight end, I would
At
say,
six, I'm talking
no,
about at
oh, at
six.
six? No, I don't see that happening. But
Yeah.
I do see a tight end in this class. I would be,
Yeah, I guess
I
in the
could
middle
see that.
rounds, you know, I don't see it in the
Yes.
first three picks, no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not in the first three picks. I think it's got to be defense, offense, and tackle. And
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. That's what I
yeah.
want. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, in some order, for sure. All
Yep.
right, Chris, on that note, let's call this one a show. Folks, we're going to be, Chris and I are going to be back tomorrow with some final thoughts before the draft. And then on Thursday, we're going to get it all started up. So it'll be interesting. Make sure you stay tuned to Locked On Giants. Make sure you check out Chris and Jerry's podcast as well, the Giant Insider podcast. They'll announce on their Twitter account, at Giant Insider, when they're dropping one. I think you've got one more coming out before the draft, right?
Monday.
Okay, all right.
It'll be the
So,
last one before the draft.
last one before the draft. So, plenty of draft coverage coming up, wall to wall, folks. We will talk to you again soon. Take care.